Child of God, you're welcome to another life-changing message from Reverend Sidney Olumensa. Reverend Sidney Olumensa is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a sermon titled, The Little Fox of Sloth. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. We bless you for such a time like this. We thank you for how far you have brought us. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We pray that even as we teach your word, we ask of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I even pray for them that are watching me, oh God, our viewers as well. I pray that, Lord, you taught them, you bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we want to deal with our last of our series on the little fox that destroys the vineyard. Amen. And we want to take our anchor scripture from the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. It says that, take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. I take that again, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. The King James Version, it says that, take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender. And I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. King James Version. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. The King James Version. It says that, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make it rich. 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I want to take that again. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Things that spoil the vineyard is something we've dealt with and something that we have looked at this entire weeks. And one thing that we've understood in this series and in this Bible study series is that we've looked at sinful speech. We've looked at spiritual apathy. Amen. We've looked at double-mindedness as well. Hallelujah. And now we want to look at something which is very important. And that will be the last of the foxes that fight what? Our vineyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something important that as a believer, we go to spiritual battles. But some of us have defined spiritual battles as fighting wizards and fighting witches and fighting demonocracies, fighting some other powers. But there are certain things that fight us in our walk with God. Hallelujah. And these little foxes are something that can destroy even our witness. We being as witness to Christ. Amen. And these little foxes, they can damage our vines and they can hinder our spiritual growth. Someone says spiritual growth. And which is very, very important, because if our spiritual growth is hindered, it will cause us to have we will be myopic spiritually. We will encounter disappointment in life. We will also be sorrowful in life as well. Amen. And it's very, very important as well that as we have understood this little foxes that fight the vineyard, we'll begin to, you know, take the best note out of it and walk with it as well. Amen. At best, it is almost hard to imagine that seemingly There are things like pride and jealousy and envy and fear. All those little foxes, they destroy the believer. They destroy the believer. But that is exactly what takes place when we forget about these little foxes, because they will destroy what? The believer. Am I communicating? And as much as it's important that we work on our soul, these little foxes will destroy our souls as well. Amen. They will not only destroy our soul, they will destroy our church, our families, and our relationship, and a lot of things. Amen. They can even destroy our careers and where we want to go, because if you allow some little foxes in your life, they will break you down. And sometimes they will sneak unnoticed in your vineyard, and sometimes you might not see it. They can sneak inside like sinisters, you know. They can sneak inside and you will not know, you cannot tell that they are there, and gradually you see that they are destroying your church, they are destroying your family, they are destroying everything that you have built in life. Am I communicating? And that is why it's very important that we give the devil no opportunity, because the enemy can ruin our life. Amen. The fallout take place when these little foxes, sometimes they attack us when we least what expected. They can attack your personal testimony as a believer. They can destroy your word, your prayer, relationship, the richness in your life. They can destroy it. That joy that Christ has given to you, it can what? Be destroyed. Those little foxes, they can rob you of those things. Am I communicating? But I believe that despite the presence of these little foxes we've dealt with this entire week, despite the presence of these little foxes, there is hope. Am I communicating? Someone say there is hope. You see, God will not put you there and not give you hope. In every circumstance you find yourself, there will what? Be hope. Am I communicating? And there will be hope for the believer. So no matter how these little foxes are in your vineyard, there will be hope. And that is why I love 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. It says that they had, King James Version, it says, they had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Someone say common to man. But God is faithful. It says that, but God is faithful. He says that, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of what? Escape. Am I communicating? That ye may be able to what? To bear it. Ye may be able to do what? To bear it. So every little fox that comes into your life or attempt to destroy your career, your ministry, attempt to destroy your soul, there is hope. But somebody might ask, where is that hope? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is that hope? The hope is in Christ Jesus. Someone say Christ Jesus. The hope is in what? It's in Christ Jesus. And that hope is the price that he paid for you and I. The price he paid on the cross. That is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Am I communicating? So despite that, the devil will work over time. Someone say over time. You know, the devil can work over time. You see, despite the devil working over time just to make sure that you are destroyed, you are defeated, just to make sure that all the power that is invested in you, you lose that power, you lose that strength, you lose that presence with God, God will always give us hope. And that is the most important thing. Hallelujah. I want you to wave your hand and say, I have hope. I have hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know, but somebody might be watching me, and maybe you have perhaps fallen to some of these little foxes, you know, that we have dealt with, and some of the little foxes we've dealt with, which is very, very important that we look at it. Sinful speech, the spiritual apathy, double-mindedness, and all that. Somebody might have fallen into a place what like that. Am I communicating? But the question that, or the answer to it, is that there is hope, and the hope is that you will come out of it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. You see, the devil all the time wants to kill our hope, going to kill our joy. But God will always give us what? An escape route. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, King James Version. It says that stand fast. Someone says stand fast. He says that, stand fast therefore in the liberty. I want to take that again. Stand fast therefore in the liberty where it Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I am free, I am free. Hallelujah. A songwriter said, I'm free indeed. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. Same 5 verse 13. It says that, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve what? One another. Hallelujah. The one thing that can help us to detect and see the direction of these little foxes is the word of God. That is the only thing that can help us to detect these little foxes. It's what? The word of God. They can just, you know, you can just determine it by practicing what the word of God teaches you. When you practice what the word of God teaches you, it gives you that determination. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And that is why when I travel to the book of John chapter 8 verse 31 to 32. John chapter 8 verse 31 to 32. It says that, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. It says, if ye continue in my word. The underlying word here, it says what? Continue what? In my word. So the escape route is what? Is the word of God. If you want to battle these little foxes, one of the escape route and the paramount, the foundation, is what? The word of God. Am I communicating? It says that, then you are my disciples. If you continue what? In what? In my word. It says, then you are what? My disciples. And it says that, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth what? Will set you free. I can never know the truth if I don't study the word. I can never know the truth if I'm not determined to know what is in the word and let the word of God be my guide. I can never know what the truth. And that is why Jesus said, if I continue what in the word, the truth will what? It will set me free. Now somebody say, it will set me free. Say, it will set me free. Tonight, as we look at our last little fox, somebody say, last little fox. Last ones are dangerous. Hallelujah. The last one, sometimes they refuse to die. They are dangerous. Last killer, as we say. Hallelujah. And the last one we want to look at is the little fox of sloth. S-O-L-T-H. Hallelujah. Sloth. Amen. Amen. The little fox of sloth. Amen. Amen. Most people would hardly be willing to even consider the idea that they are slothful. Most people will. I mean, if I tell you you are slothful, you say, oh, nah, I'm not slothful. Or you are lazy. I mean, if I say how many lazy people are here, I'm sure every hand will be down. No, nobody will indeed admit that I'm lazy. Or I'm slothful. Am I communicating? Or it's laziness is some sort of characteristics in my life. Am I communicating? But in fact, the accusation, you know, of somebody accusing you that you are slothful, is not something that we would take it lightly at all. If you approach somebody and you tell the person, I think that you are lazy, it will be an argument. I mean, if you approach me right now and say, Reverend, with due respect, I think you are lazy. Hallelujah. I mean, it's something that people will argue about it. Even your colleagues in the office, you know, or your mate or whatever it is. Sincerely, if you have realized that there is some iota of laziness in his life, and you tell the person that, you know what, I think that I see some bit of laziness in you, the first thing will be, you know, nobody will come to the realization to admit it, and there will always be argument. The argument will be is that I don't think I am lazy. The idea of laziness itself is something that we don't want to accept in our life. Am I communicating? If you have to meet somebody right now and say that, you know what, for the past 3 weeks, I realized that laziness, you are lazing yourself around. You know, that person will begin to think that you are not a good friend and you cannot befriend that person. Slothfulness is is something that we have to look at. There was a research that was done, and the research was that in our society that we find ourselves, we have a lot of people that will not admit that they are lazy. And I can guarantee that even in this house, if we do a roll call and say that people should come out and attest to it that there is some form of laziness in their life, we will not get anybody. Am I communicating? We will not get anybody. But the truth of the matter is that slothfulness has in its way, as a little fox, it has moved through society. It has moved through cultures. It has moved through times. It has moved through seasons. But if we detect this little fox of slothness, we will be able to handle and deal with it. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So it is very, very important that we understand this, because other than that, we will find ourselves in a place where, however, sloth and laziness will take the pace of our life. And as much as we want to see productivity, we will never see that productivity, because there is a little force called slothful. Somebody say sloth. Somebody say sloth.
Sloth.
Say sloth.
Sloth.
But the question here is, or what you will say to me is that, what is the definition of slothful? Slothful. What is the definition of slothful? Slothful is a word that has been passed out of usage in our generation. And if you look at the old Saxon word, the strong old Saxon word, it comes from the idea of being slow. Someone say slow.
Oh.
It comes from the idea of one being what? Slow. And it can be linked up with the habit of constant tardiness. Constant what? Tardiness. Constant leaning towards inactive and idleness. I want to repeat that again. Constant idleness or constant tardiness and leaning towards inactive and what? And idleness. So I can say that sloth is a sin that believes nothing. Please listen carefully. Sloth is a sin that believes what? Nothing. Sloth is a sin that believes nothing, cares for nothing. It doesn't believe anything. It doesn't care for anything. And then it interferes in your life. It hates nothing. It finds purpose in nothing. It lives for nothing. And that is what sloth does. Or one being slothful. He cares for nothing and he lives for nothing. Hallelujah. Some individuals have made some quote about this slothfulness or one being sloth. And one man called Benjamin Franklin, he said something. He said that sloth, like rust, consumes faster than labor wears, while the key often used is always bright. Hallelujah. And one anonymous person also said, a soul idling time is the devil working time. A soul idling time is the devil what? Working what? Time. And one anonymous writer also said, he said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Am I communicating? An idle mind is what? Is the devil's what? Workshop. But I love the book of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is loaded with defining slothfulness, laziness, and idleness as a sin. Am I communicating? But the truth of the matter is that it is a great sin, particularly when it comes to heartfelt religious matters, where a man just allows his souls to never take an initiative, do something positive in terms of walking or doing the things of God. People are where they are because they are what? They are slothful. People are where they are because they've allowed idleness and, I would say, laziness to take what? To take absolutely or the entirety of their life. Am I communicating? I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. It says that, go to the ant. Can we read together? It's on the screen. It says that, let's read together. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and what? Be wise. Verse 7. Which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. Verse 8. Provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. Verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Verse 10. It says that, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Verse 11. Last verse. It says that, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I love Proverbs. It gives the definition of one who is what? Who is slothful. Hallelujah. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Let's read together, church. It says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful shall be what? Under tribute. Give me Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. It says that the slothful man roasted. Is it there? The slothful man what? Roasted not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13, verse 4. It says, the soul of the sluggard desired and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made what? Fat. Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 9. 18, verse 9. It says that, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now watch this carefully. It says that, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is what? A great what? Waster. Proverbs 19 verse 5. It says that slothfulness casted into a deep sleep, and an idle soul suffer hunger. An idle soul suffer what? Suffer hunger. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Now look at Proverbs chapter 20 verse 4. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 4. It says that, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Some of you have traveled. There are times where the weather is cold, but you have to work. But the sluggard will fold the hammer and say, I want to wait till summer. And the Bible says that, and what will happen is that, therefore he shall beg in harvest. So when I have worked hard in the cold to reap, and now summer is in and the weather is clear, now he will come knocking and say, can I borrow? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and have nothing, because that person will look at you and say, when in the cold, where were you? And people will deny you and not give you anything. Am I communicating? Proverbs chapter 21 verse 25. I love Proverbs. It gives definition of somebody who is slothful. Proverbs 21, 25. It says that, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hand refused to labor. His hands what? Refused to what? To labor. Now let's look at the last verse. The last scripture. Proverbs 26, 13 to 16. Proverbs 26, 13 to 16. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the street. As the doorman turn upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. He grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. That is how a slothful man is. And scripture, and I love Proverbs, it gives the definition of one who is what? Who is slothful. Hallelujah. But the battleground of one who is slothful, what is the battleground of one who is slothful? For us to gain practical understanding of the way sloth works, we need to understand the battleground. Am I communicating? And these things that we are going to learn will help us, because it will help us to know the battleground that sloth presents itself in the life of a believer or a Christian. Number one, laziness. Laziness. Laziness, it kills a church. Laziness, it kills growth. Laziness, it kills ministry. Laziness, it kills careers. Hallelujah. The most obvious battleground that sloth initiate itself is just plain vanilla laziness. Yeah. Plain vanilla laziness. It's so plain. Am I communicating? And one of the proverbs that we read actually gives us a presentation of a man who is lazy. And it describes him as a man who is literally too lazy to feed himself. Too lazy to feed him. Even when you put food there, like you have to. This is not somebody in a relationship, they say, sweetheart, feed me and I also feed you. No, this is not that. This is a man who is that lazy that refuses to feed himself. And while most would not degenerate into this place, it is very important that if you look at an ideal person, you could see some bit of this trait in that person, because people have had that assumption, life is so easy. Especially when you live in that type of world where after the end of the month, the government will pay you something. When you have five children, they will pay each of them something. That people say, at the end of the month, I know I'm getting from bond one, bond two, bond three, bond four, bond five, bond six. So all the time, there is money coming. Am I communicating? So it puts people in that position where he's so relaxed, he doesn't want to work. Am I communicating? So what happens too far and too many is that they buy into the idea that, life is I need to live a life of leisure. No actual requirement on my life. And even if I have to place a requirement on my life, it's so little. I need to live a life of what? Leisure. As easy as it sounds, I enter the house of God, as easy as it is, I find nothing to do. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? And you see, if you look at the trait of laziness, you can tell how lazy somebody is, and you can trace it to the house that person comes from. Am I communicating? Sometimes you can enter some people's rooms, and you can... The definition of the room can just tell you the outcome of how that person is lazy. Am I communicating? Someone say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Lord, have mercy. Often in life, we look at laziness as something that all of us here, we will not accept it, that we are lazy. But these are the battlegrounds that sloth works. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And it is important that as a true child of God, you understand that an element of work is involved in accomplishing the goal in your life. It doesn't come easy like that. You know what? Sometimes when people look at you and they say, man of God, you envisage this particular ministry and they are this and they are that. And I look at them and I can just tell from their life how they have allowed that little fox of sloth to enter into their life. That hand in hand building the house of God, they are not there. Am I communicating? They are not there. But you see, the truth of the matter is that, everything that has to grow, you have to exert energy into it. It cannot just come like that. There has to be blood. There has to be. You see, we see people and we see that they are flourishing. Their blood and their sweat that has gone into that glorious accomplishment is not easy. Am I communicating? It's not easy. People that have come out of school, they have their job, they live in their nice, and some people hate them like that. And I've taught this thing here about pride. That people hate them like that, and you can tell that they decided to eliminate that little fox of slothness in their life. That they fought on the battleground of laziness. But everything that has to come with great accomplishment, there has to be a battle. Am I communicating? You have to, it will have to, the people call it blood and sweat. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Great marriages do not just happen. You have to work at it. Hallelujah. You have to what? Work at it. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Great business endeavors to flourish financially, having required the discipline of work. Am I communicating? That I have my work, I can get up. And, you know, I was working with my, I was driving with my dad, and we were going to take something from a man. And, you know, about 9:30, almost 10, the guy was not in. So now the question was that, oh, it is his own business. So it is your own business. So, and customers are there. I was not the only one. Some other people were there. And that laxity of relaxing because it's my own business. But the truth of the matter is that businesses have endeavored to flourish is because they decided to carry discipline. This thing, they are not speaking. You can bind 50,000 witches. I'm telling you. And a man of God said last time, you know, and people fought him. Hallelujah. That there are some things, it's not just about grace, but it's discipline and hard work. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. You see, men will pronounce favor, men will pronounce this, but you need to work at it. Am I communicating? We need to work at it. So people look at you and say, man of God, ministry that have flourished, they put great work into it. Men sacrifice time to put great. So people are looking behind and they are smiling and they say, ah, he went to take Abala from something. No. Even those that took Abala from somewhere, you know the blood and sweat that went into it. So anything that has to do with attaining height and stature, even in life and in the spirit, it causes for hard work. The Bible says Jesus will pray all night and come in the morning and perform miracles. So laziness is something that we cannot just accept it like that in our life. No. Even in our spiritual life, there has to be hard work. Hard work to have a prayer life. Hard work to worship. Hard work to have a good Bible studies in your life. Hard work. There is no room for laziness. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. There is no easy ways to success. No. Those that have easy ways and all that, it doesn't survive. There are no easy ways. Am I communicating? That is why when you bought this laptop or this tablet with diligence, not allowing room for laziness, and you have it, you take care of it well. When somebody is holding it like he's holding some bread moving around, you are like, hey, hold my tablet well. Because you understand the process that went through to even get it in your hands. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So it's very important. And the truth is that we need to invest in it. And years of faithful investment, it brings success. Years of faithful investment. You see, there are times I'm not digressing. There are times we might not see it now. But we'll see it tomorrow. Years of what? But faithful. A man of God said, is anything you put 100% in it, you reap 100%. Your strength, your money, your sacrifices, everything. But anything that you do it haphazardly, you don't reap as you want to reap. Am I communicating? One commentator noted that laziness is the hatred of all things spiritually that require effort, and it faint-heartedness in working through difficult angles striving for perfection. Laziness doesn't want that. Laziness doesn't want anything that has to do with hard work. No. If laziness sees hard work, it will fight it. Am I come? That is why you see someone who is working hard, someone who is lazy, and you say, why are you working too hard? Slow down. Am I communicating? Anything that has to do that, no. Laziness and sacrifice, they are enemies. Anytime sacrifice shows the face, laziness is like, no, I have to fight you. Am I communicating? But you see, one thing that we need to understand, that Jesus had to bear or carry the cross. It wasn't laziness. The man carried the cross to Golgotha to be crucified. If he was lazy, he would have said, Lord, I can't go again. Oh yeah, everybody carry your sins. But he never allowed laziness to come to his life. People are that lazy, it affects others as well. If you're a man of God, you are surrounded with a bunch of lazy people, your ministry will never grow. If you're a leader, you want to attain some success, and people are lazy, your ministry will never grow. If you have employed a bunch of lazy people, your ministry will not grow. Hallelujah. Things they have to finish, they'll tell you, we will do it this time, we'll do it this time. It will never grow. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Number two is procrastination. One of the battlegrounds of sloth is what? Procrastination. That is the second battleground of sloth that comes is the light of procrastination. And have you heard this old adage that comes from a question, that why today what you can do tomorrow? You've heard that adage. He says that, why do what today, right? Why do today what you can do what tomorrow? Oh, pile it up and do it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Oh, leave them. We can do it tomorrow. I said, there is this bird that say, when the rains come, I will build my house. And immediately the rain stop. He says, I'll wait. I'll build. Never build. When the rain comes, he says, I'll build my house. Somebody say procrastination. Procrastination is something which destroys our sense of urgency. Please write it down. Procrastination is something that destroys our sense of what? Of urgency. We want to do it quickly. And somebody, can't we wait? Can't we? Hallelujah. Now we have to bring this, bring that. Procrastination destroys our sense of urgency that we may feel in accomplishing a task. Listen, you need to identify people in your circles like that. Anything that has to do with sense of urgency, procrastination. You see that little fork, immediately show it head. You have to cut it off. Am I communicating? You need to cut. It is a battleground, because if you lose that battleground, you are gone. Hallelujah. So there is a spiritual principle involved in seizing the day. You need to seize the day. Am I communicating? But by putting off things that, people will say that, wait for some time before we do it. We've decided we want to do this. There is a cut-out plan. It's very good. They will say, When will you 2027? When will you 2030? If you're in a relationship and the guys start talking about 2030, 2055, 2070, you are gone. Hallelujah. You are doomed forever. Amen. And this was the dilemma of the five foolish virgins. This is the exact dilemma that five were what? And the other five were what? Were foolish. This is the same dilemma. The little force crept into their life and they say, the oil is enough. Whilst they saw the others like, would they be stupid enough to get extra oil? Just be stupid. Am I communicating? But they said that, you know what, for us, no. We don't need that extra oil to even put it in the lamp. No. But they ended up being stranded. They were stranded in the street. They were not, is there oil? Is there oil? The time they got, the clock is gone. The gate is locked. The bridegroom is fast. Am I communicating? Our bride is, you see, that is it. Laziness can kill your sense of focus. Laziness. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Am I teaching? It's very important. Other than that, we will procrastinate. And that's what they did. They procrastinated till there was no oil. And what did the five wise virgins? They, give us oil. They say, ah. Hallelujah. There are times you can literally beg people, Jack, let's hurry up and finish this task. Am I communicating? It's like you see something, it's like, let's buy this thing. Oh, let's buy this thing. Because by 20 something, the price will increase. Let's buy. It's like, oh, let's buy. Don't worry. Oh, yet it was. By the time you realize, sometimes you go, the thing is not there. You are like, I even pass here all the time. I could have got this thing. Just getting down from the car and going to buy and pick another car, you will procrastinate. Am I communicating? Procrastinate. I want to pray. You will not pray. There are some people, they never join the 30 minutes prayer because of procrastination. The one we started, I will join. You, can I have a witness? Online and in-house. Hallelujah. They procrastinated. Met joining every day. Sir. The day, the final day, they were in a hurry to join. They even joined, we had closed. Am I communicating? So it's very important. You see, other than that, we will be there and we'll realize that this little fox, somebody say little fox. Say little fox. It will destroy us. You see, those foolish virgins, they knew that priority was to have an oil in their lamps. And that's what they knew. But their priorities were no lesser things than to procrastinate in the area where they find themselves. It's a priority. We need to get it. They knew the general time of the bridegroom appearance, but they waited too long. Too long. Hallelujah. They waited what? Too long. That's why I like my thing. Shabu shabu. You are done. You are waiting to see free. You will be back. You're not doing yourself free. You're not. Am I communicating? You will lazy around. The bridegroom will come and then it's gone. So procrastination, it muddles what? The mind. It doesn't only muddles the mind, it blocks the future. Please note it. It blocks the future. It doesn't only block the future, it destroys our priorities. Am I communicating? You know, like, it's like something is damaged in this house. Let's fix it. I tell someone, let's fix it. Oh, Reverend will do it. Next week you come, the thing is still there. Oh, Reverend, you know what? I was busy the whole of the week. I couldn't. The following week, oh, Reverend, oh, this I'll do it. 1 month, the thing is still broken, is there. Am I communicating? Someone say, Lord, have mercy. Procrastination, it causes our sensitivity to God's timing to be off. So God has time to do something for you, but because of what? You see, procrastination have made people even miss their destiny helpers. We will come to the house and pray. I decree my destiny helper come by force. And yes, on my they can't move without even you seeing it because of what? Procrastination. Hallelujah. From siapa koto, go and buy them. It was the last day. You go and buy the form. Network. Apart from network, you hurriedly, you were in a hurry, you fill the form, you make a mistake. So now he goes and the man of God takes your, he prays, he says, Lord, I decree the form that is gone. Lord, let it. There is a mistake on it. Now you want the Holy Ghost to go and take pen and correct the mistake for you. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Charles Spurgeon, he said something. He said, like wolves which hunt the flying traveler across the snowy plains of Russia, neglect and obligation follow a man with swift and sure pursuit, and there is no way of escape. You see, if we don't handle this thing well, it will break us down. Number three, or the third battleground of sloth, and I will call it busyness. Hallelujah. Somebody say busyness. And this will come to a shock because it has to do with being busy. Being what? Busy. This is an ironic paradox to grasp, because sloth generally moves about slowly without much hurry, but sloth also works through busyness. Am I communicating? It moves slowly without hurriedness. Let's hurry up, let's finish it. Slothness is slow like that. Slow like. But it will shock you that it also works through busyness, in that it happens because people are too what? Lazy. It happens because people are too lazy. They are lazy to take control of their schedule. They are lazy to take control of their scale of what? Preference. Am I communicating? This is most clearly reflected in the life of Martha. Hallelujah. And the Bible makes us understand that she became very upset. You know Martha? She became very upset because Mary was not helping her do what? The cooking at the kitchen for the master to eat. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. But you see, busyness leads to great distraction and frustration. Busyness, it leads to great what? Distraction and what? Frustration. Am I communicating? There was one study that was done in a neighborhood. And the study, the outcome that came was that 5,000-hour commitment to a college degree could be obtained. Another 5,000-hour commitment will lead you to get a master's or doctorate degree in several chosen fields that you will decide, whether in astronomy or whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is that the majority of people, when they are told that you will do a degree course and your your minute, or they call it what? Your hours or what? I love this guy. Your credit hours. When immediately you ask the course, maybe you won't do a course in astronomy. They say your credit hours is 10,000 hours. You are like, 10,000. Now, sloth begins to creep in. Immediately you see 10,000 hours, you are like, this one I can't do it. But the truth of the matter is that there has been research that people at the age of 20, and great majority of people in this category, have watched 20 hours of television. Am I coming? They have watched 20 hours of what? Of television. And at that age, if you add about 10,000 hours in a decade, you can imagine how much. Am I communicating? But the truth is that you realize that because you are seeing the hours, it is imprinting in your mind. But that is the spirit of what? Of somebody who is slothful. It enters you, and then you look at it and you are like, no. Especially they take you to a field, and then you look at the field and you are like, how is it possible I can do this in a day? You look at how huge it is and you are like, no, it's not possible. But somebody will be determined and say, I will start and then I'll finish. Come early in the morning, 6 a.m. Look at the people that you employ. Some say, I'll be there. They will come 10 a.m. They will not finish the job, and they will charge you the following day as well. Am I communicating? Busyness can cause us to miss out on positive opportunities in our life. Busyness. Why are you busy, sir? Busy. The whole year. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. The whole year. Why are you busy, sir? Every day.
day you are busy. Every day you are busy. Am I communicating? It's a little fox, so, and it will kill and destroy your opportunities.
Am I communicating? Hallelujah.
If you are going to accomplish anything, and I repeat, anything interesting and rewarding, it will be because someone moved with constructive and consistently applied effort, that he will make sure that he will not be busy in his life. Am I communicating? That sort of negative busyness, for me, I'm too busy. Everything, I'm too busy. You, it's like the everything business, your front, your back. You tell him, can we do, I'm busy. People are busy. They are busy to the extent they don't have time for their children. Hallelujah. It is in this our corporate world that your grandmother will call you and say, take your time. But in some other places, they will tell you, oh, yeah, because you don't have time, I'm going to see an attorney and release my divorce papers. Am I communicating? Somebody say, I will kill that. Say, I will kill it. Hallelujah. Busyness prevents us from investing ourselves in things that really matter. Am I communicating? And busyness ultimately causes a deposit of emptiness to overload the soul. It destroys the heart and wastes a life. It will waste a life. And you see, the truth of the matter is that it is our ego. If I tell you that I have realized in this past month that laziness is creeping in your life, you tell me, man of God, I believe you are not seeing well. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Because everybody, one way or the other, astonishingly will say that, you know what? No. It's not something I think. I want to address this thing quickly and then we close. That there are some other things like tolerance also that becomes a battleground when it comes to, you know, somebody being slowed. What is tolerance? Tolerance is the willingness to accept feelings, habit, or beliefs that are different from your own. You can have people in a group, they are always full of tolerance. They will never accept other people's beliefs or what other person has said. No. It's always their own is the best. Am I communicating? But I give you some solutions and some things that will help somebody who is in a place of being slothful. And to overcome this little fox of sloth, these are some steps that I want to give to you. Number one, be truthful. Please write it down. Number one, be truthful. Somebody say, be truthful. Say, be truthful. Is it hard to say I'm lazy? Is it hard? It is hard for people to say I'm lazy. Hallelujah. Me, I'm lazy. Am I communicating? We have to be truthful. Because if it is hard to admit that for me, I am lazy, I'm a slothful person, it's because of what? Of pride. We feel like our pride has been insulted. And when we say this, that you are lazy or I am lazy, we feel that our pride has been what? How do you tell me I'm lazy? Can you imagine? I am lazy. Do you know the kind of work I put in my... Can you tell me I'm lazy? But sincerely, you will look at the track record. That little fox have entered a vineyard. Am I communicating? Some people say, I want to pray on a roster with you. We'll pray Monday, pray Wednesday, pray Friday. First week, I'm busy. Second week, I'm busy. Third week, it's dead. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Lord, have mercy. In fact, sloth has a voice. Sloth, it has what? A voice. And that voice impress on our thought. It impress on what? On our thought. Hallelujah. And that is laziness, procrastination, tolerance, and busyness. And they are really the way to go. So the truth of the matter is that I'm closing. If you can be honest to yourself, if you can honestly look at how you are spending the minute and hours of your life, you will suddenly determine the priorities of your life that really matters to you. Look at the minute and hours. Am I communicating? You see, it takes courage to look at your life under the microscope and decide to change. It takes what? Courage. Charlie, I think I'm being lazy. It takes courage, I'm telling you. It takes what? Courage. Number two, the antidote to one who is found in a place of sloth. Number two, act on information. Act on information. It is not enough to just be truthful and honest about sloth. You have to do something about the information you have discovered. Am I communicating? You have discovered something, you have to act on it. Am I communicating? Am I teaching? You have to what? You have to act on it. Some of this involve in repentance and telling God that, God, I want to have insight in your word. Am I communicating? Because it's a battleground, you have to pray. Hallelujah. I firmly believe that the spirit of slothfulness, it can kill the avenue of being prayerful. It can kill it. Am I communicating? Some people, the Holy Ghost can literally wake you up, pray. Ah, no. This is nothing. I will enjoy the weather. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Can you imagine that you've been put in an office of a prayer warrior, and the number of hours you spend in prayer is... Let me continue. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. And that is why we need to act on it. Whatever we have received, we have to what? We have to act on it. Am I communicating? So that will help us. I tell you, Nana, this is what we want to do this week. You have received the information, you have to act on it. You don't just sit down and let the little fox of slothfulness creep into your life and then relax. Am I communicating? I can guarantee one person that I want to believe God that slothfulness, if it finds its head in his life, he will cut it off. Am I communicating? Should I mention the name? Let me continue. Number three. The last one. Refuse to give up. Somebody say refuse to give up. Refuse to give up. If you want to cut off that head of that slothfulness, you have to admit to the fact that I refuse to. My entrombo omomasu. Say, for me, I refuse to give up. Can we have people like that? I refuse to give up. Yeah, some of us, if we allow this thing, we would have killed us. Killed our ministry and killed. Hallelujah. There are times Pastor Kobe will say, man of God, how do you do it? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's just some few number of, and he's preaching like thousands. Some people will buto. Hallelujah. Refuse to want to give. Press it until you receive it. Am I communicating? And that's why I love the woman in Luke chapter 18. He kept knocking at the door of the church till she had a result. The man could not sleep till he said, no, I need to hear this woman. At least hear this woman. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So we understand that in this life, we need to contend. But for us to contend, we need to embrace the fact that we have to refuse to what? Give up. Sloth robs us of developing the full potential that God has for us. Being slothful will rob you from what? The full. Listen, there are people that there could be prophetic words that I see that you are a great man of God, but because of the little fox of slothfulness, it can rob you of the potential that God wants to put upon your life. Can rob you. Am I communicating? And you can blame it on whoever man of God it is you. Can you imagine you receive a prophetic word that there is a school or something, and you won't apply anything? Scholarship come, you won't apply. You are there, cross your hand, let the angel of the Lord release. Hallelujah. Angel, Uncle Felix scholarship form. And we are there, we are busying ourselves around. Some of us, we have busy till the year has ended. And when we look at our track record, there is nothing to write home about. Please bow down your head and begin to pray. I believe it's a good place to pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sidney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon. And Shalom.